if you turn with me in your only your hymnals, number 372, I Love Him. Are these hymnals up? Okay, what number is it?
Four.
Four. Okay. Let me turn to that so we're on the same page.
Gone from my heart, the world and all its charms. Now through the blood, I'm safe from all alarm. Down at the cross, my heart did bending low. The precious blood of Jesus cleanses white as snow.
Sister Becky Shearer, her cancer, Sister Mary Hoffman for full recovery from hers. Brother Bill Caldwell's wife I just keep her in prayer. He had passed away from prostate cancer. Brother Billy Paul, just for continued health. Believers in India, because the Prime Minister there wants to get rid of all Christians in India. Brother Mark Bailey in South Africa, for his family. With the situation there where the government wants to get rid of white people, he's in not so good a place to be. Brother Joseph Brown, Jacksonville. I want to pray for our brothers here. Brother Don, continue to pray for him. Brother Abel, for him. Brother Ben Caleb, Brother Webb, Webster, and the different brothers we've had here. I want to continue to pray for them. Do we have any spoken requests you'd like to make known? I want to pray for Brother Abel's wife and child as they're home alone. That the Lord give them safe travels back. And also for all of you tomorrow, for your travels as well. Yeah. Brother Nathan, would you take these requests before the Lord?
Sure. Gracious Heavenly Father, we're just so grateful to be able to come before you in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And to bring these requests to you, Lord, you told us to come and ask that our joy that you made whole, that you made us partners with you, Lord. Though we didn't deserve it, though we don't have anything in ourselves to offer, Lord. You stood in our place and gave us a position that we're just so grateful to be here. So, Lord, we bring these requests to you, each and every one. You know the situation, you know the exact need. And Lord, we just ask you to go and intervene in each and every situation, Lord. Brothers and sisters who are in need of a touch from you, for health, Lord, just pray that you reach down and honor your word, Lord. You said that those who are sick and have need of healing, you are Jehovah Rapha, the living God,
yes, who
heals all of our needs. I just pray, Lord, that you touch each and every one and make them well, Lord. For our brothers and sisters who are in persecuted places in need of protection, in India, in South Africa, in various places, Lord. I know, Lord, those things don't happen by accident. Your hand of protection is just as real there as it is in any other place in the world. And we just pray, Lord, that you'd watch over them, Lord, you'd give them boldness to speak your name and wisdom to know how to navigate the circumstances that they're in. Just give each of them a special measure of grace, Lord, for those things that they're facing. The other requests, Lord, I don't know each and every one of them, but you do. You hear and you see.
Yes, of
course. Please reach down your hand and touch each and every one. For the remainder of the service, too, Lord, we just ask that your name will be glorified, your people's hearts here will be stirred, and that your life will be made manifest in a more real way in each and every one of you tonight. We ask in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. 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 Number 5, Sweet Hour of Prayer.
Sweet Hour of Prayer, Sweet Hour of Prayer, that calls me from a world of care and bids me strong.
Say a few words, and I will start with the youngest, which I think would be
Hiccup.
You're the youngest. You can just come up. That's okay. We can understand. All right, the Lord knows. Just come up and say a few words to the people. Okay.
You're
okay.
We'll be praying for you, brother. Okay.
Okay.
Oh, you want to your notes?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's very difficult for me like in English, but I am so blessed for to be here. I am so blessed for atmosphere and so sweet Holy Ghost. Thank you for my brother Brian. I know brother Brian in 2006. So much time really in Holy Ghost. Thank you so much, love so much everyone. Maybe next year my English is better. God bless you. My hair is with you. Pray for me. Pray for my truth. Greeting for my truth for you, for everyone. Love so much. Thank you so much.
Okay, brother, God bless you. And we all say that every time. I say next time maybe my Spanish will be better. Next time maybe your English will be better. But we know it won't, so. Who's older, you or? I mean, who's younger?
A little older.
Okay, then. Jason, if you'll come up and
yes.
Just tell us a little bit about what you're doing and where you've been. You know, the people are not so aware, so.
God bless you, brother.
God bless you all. Most of you might know, but some of you might not. I do missions work in the Middle East. Been doing that since 2009, full-time since 2012 by God's grace and provision. And mainly I've gone to Turkey. First trip we went in 2011 with Amy went. She was 6 months pregnant with Mina. And Don and Mary went. And then Sister Evie in our church back home in Minnesota went. And it was an eye-opening trip. It was you could see it gave a burden to get the message in their hands and in their own language. And a lot has happened since then. But I can say from that time to now, there's people that are there, ministers there, that are really preaching the true reality of the message. They're seeing the things that you're seeing and rejoicing in it. They're seeing the presence of the Son of Man. They're seeing a Father and Son and the reality of that. They're seeing, you know, that the seven thunders have been uttered through the message of Brother Branham to restore us back to the original faith. And they're feasting on that, and more is getting translated. The Church Ages book has been translated, and the seals is being worked on now. And Brother Nehemiah is, a lot of these, most of them are Iranian refugees that have moved from Iran to Turkey, and most of them get directed someplace. Brother Nehemiah is in Toronto area now, going to Brother Jeff Hall's church. And Brother Petros is in Germany, and he's started a little Iranian fellowship in the city of Hamburg. But both of them, they travel back to Turkey to work with believers there. Brother Nehemiah is the main one doing translation work. There's another brother in Germany that's also doing translations. He translated the whole Supernatural series, the brother in Germany, and now is working on kind of step-by-step different messages. And so I think there's probably roughly 60 messages, including the Church Ages book. If you go by chapter, there's probably about 70 translated. So very thankful for that, and just good ministers, solid preaching the word there in Turkey. And it's what we were dreaming about when we started, that, you know, the Lord raise up people that can take this message and continue it on, whether I go back or not. And so he's done that, and rejoicing of that. The Lord has also opened up a door in Egypt in the last year and a half or so. And I've gone there, I think, 4 times now. And so it's a church there and a pastor we're working with. And we've introduced kind of the heart of the message to them, but continuing on subject by subject. This last trip I was there, started going into holiness, modesty, and just planting the seed. It was just interesting how the Lord moved there. I had 3 services with them, and it was just kind of laying the foundation of sanctification and holiness, and offering your life as a sacrifice, pleasing to the Lord. And then you get to the heart of it, where you're bringing to them Deuteronomy 22:5, that, you know, wearing pants is a woman wearing pants is an abomination to the Lord, and going into 1 Timothy 2:9 and 10, you know, and looking at the Greek in there, that the word there, meaning of dress, where it's not just a general term, but kata stole means a letting down. Kata stole is like a tunic, like a long shirt. And so showing that, you know, God is calling sisters to wear a skirt that goes below the knee, and that it's modest. And at the end of one of the services, a couple sisters are kind of laughing. They're looking back at us talking and laughing. And I'm just aggrieved, you know. And just left it at that. That was the second to last service. And then the third service, I went into it, and that service I went into Deuteronomy 22:5 and bringing in quotes from Brother Branham saying, you know, it's an abomination for a woman to put on a pair of pants. And again, they're kind of laughing and giggling about it. And I got through the message, finished it, and I was like, I'm not just leaving it like this. This is just so grieving. And I just, I said, you know, you're, I can see some of you are laughing about this. I just want you to understand and be clear who you're what you're laughing about. I brought you through these messages five very simple scriptures. I said it's different than what you've heard before, but the fact is that the church, from the very beginning up until into the 20th century, has been following this pattern. And now, for the last 100 years, they went away from this pattern, and now you're laughing at what the whole church has done all through history. And I said, it's five simple scriptures. You're not laughing at me. You're not even laughing at Brother Branham. You're laughing at the Bible. And I said, just if it was me, I would not want to come to the judgment and to have played in front of me that I came here and preached this message to you and from the scripture, and your attitude was laughing. You will answer God for that. If you do anything, take this seriously. It's the Bible. It's not my idea. It's a simple scripture that I brought to you. And you could just feel the Holy Spirit just swept through the building. Everybody immediately was reverent. I totally changed the atmosphere. And then after the service, a couple of the women came up and said, you're preaching this, but your wife doesn't do that. And I said, oh, really? Why do you say that? Because, oh, there's no way she does it. Because many preachers in Egypt, they're preaching one thing and their family does another thing. I said, okay, that's fine if you think that and you feel that. But I took up pictures and showed them, and they were shocked to see Amy. And I said, not only she's not obeying me, she's obeying the scriptures, and she was doing this long before I ever even met her. Yeah. And then some of the ladies started coming up and saying, telling the pastor, we need to get some skirts, we can't afford it. And he's like, no problem, I'll buy them for you. And then he turns to me, he's like, I'm buying for him. I said, next time we come, we'll come back with a few suitcases of skirts and things for the ladies. But just was thankful how the Lord worked, because it took some, he took something that was looking like it was a bad situation and completely changed it and moved on their hearts. So,
amen.
And thankfully all the brothers in the church actually came up and complimented and said, you know, living amongst Muslims, this is the very thing. They're chastising about us all the time. We're sharing the gospel with people and we can't because, say, your women are all immodest.
Yeah.
Why should I ever listen to you? You're not living a holy life. And so he said, this is very needed. No other church is preaching this. And so the men are on board, brothers are on board with it, and just thankful that the ladies will be too. So I'll be going back there in early February, late January, early February. So keep me in prayer. I appreciate you, and God bless you.
Thank you, Brother Jeff. Appreciate it. You know, Paul said, I came not to you preaching words of man's wisdom, but in power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And, you know, since you're doing the work of a missionary apostle, just remember, an apostle is different from a pastor. A pastor, you know, he holds hands, he brings people together. But an apostle, Brother Bram said, is a setter in order. And you will find the more and more that you take a strong stand like that, the more and more God will bless your ministry. Just a little testimony, when we were in Congo in 2007, the first night we were there, they had us on the radio, television, everything, and it was billboards all over the city. And we got there, and the music went on for about 2 hours. The pastor himself had taken out a thing with seven balls on it, ball bearings in it, and he was just, you know, joining in. They had a bongo display, two bongos against each other for about 20 minutes. It was totally, totally Pentecostal, totally out of line with what the prophet taught. And so I rebuked the congregation. There is, you know, big heavy women that were just exhausted, laying back in their seat, you know, they had been dancing in the aisles and everything else, and it was just total. And I scolded them in the name of the Lord Jesus. I told them, I said, you know, that I said, if you want to know how to worship God, listen to Brother Bram's tapes. Because he said, you know, first of all, you see what he preached, and he said it should be quiet music, reverent, it should be worshipful, so people could come in and soul search. And anyway, then we had 50 ministers the next day for the meeting, and I know that some of the people were angry, but I don't care. You know, that's just my personality, but that's the way God made me. I don't care. As long as I deliver the word, it's up to them. You know, like Brother Bill told me years ago, he said, Brian, he said, when God gives you a message to bring, he said, the messenger, the king would give the messenger a message. He'd ride up to the wall, he'd throw it over the wall, and then he was done. Now it's in your lap, and you're responsible. And so the next morning, the local pastor, he got up to talk to ministers. He knew that about a handful of them were very upset because I told him the music, you know, was just, it was not in line. And then he got up, he said, you know, we've been taught wrong. And he mentioned a couple of ministers that have gone overseas, and you know, they'd have the people jumping up and down the aisles and everything else. And he said, but he said, that's not what the prophet said. So then I got up to preach, and I preached on father and son relationship, and that's when those three rainbows appeared, one after another, you know, and about 25 minutes apart. And the first one went joined, and the second one formed a bowl, second one joined, third formed a full circle. So I know that when you take a stand with God, God will stand with you. His presence will be visible for the people to see. He'll have some way to show the people that he's standing with you. And so you just do that, brother. You know, just be bold in the faith, because you've got a truth and you don't have to be shy about it. And you know, and so you'll see fruits from that. Jess, you come on up. Brother Jess has been doing mission work as well, and I love it. And Brother Jess, if you come up and say a few words to people.
God bless you, brothers and sisters. So good to be here with you tonight. You know, Ben, it's been just a few times through the years we've been here, but always feels just comfortable and at home. Feels like we're with family. And we just appreciate you, appreciate your fellowship, you know, and Brother Brian, the ministry. You know, growing up in the message, just all that I've observed, you know, from those around me, you know, as
I give all credit, all glory to the Lord, of course. That's all we can point to is Him and His grace. But, you know, each one of us plays a part in shaping those around us. And again, we appreciate you, your ministry. And as Brian said, of course, supporting Dad has been just a tremendous, tremendous blessing to me. I still feel so young. And, of course, we'll be saying that when we're 70 or 80, right? You're always learning. You never stop learning. You never stop growing. So, but the Lord gives grace, and I just want to express that tonight, just how much I appreciate Him and His grace. You know, where would we be without Him? You know, as the Scripture says, what do we have that we have not received? So everything is by grace. And to meet with a group like this, big or small, doesn't matter, but to start to hear the stories and the testimonies, to see how God has moved in lives and how what He's brought each and every one through, it's just so beautiful. The bouquet of His grace, you know, is just magnificent. And how grace comes to each one of us is going to be unique, but it's ours. It's something that I possess. It's something that I have, that I know He did for me. That's what makes it so beautiful. And my story is very, very different from yours, and yours from his, and so on. But it's all Him. It's all His grace. So we just want to express my gratitude and love to Him. And again, his grace is so wonderful. You think of, just as an example, again, Paul, for example, how grace comes to his people so differently. For Paul, it was like a lightning bolt knocked him to the ground just like that. And you look at somebody like Timothy, you know, that you could say maybe that gentle stream of grace coming down through grandmother, mother, you know, again, in both situations, it's God. It's his glory, his beauty, his working, but so different, so unique. And so, again, each one of us, you know, we give all thanks to God. He knows what he's doing. And, you know, if I could just maybe share one or two things real quick, not trying to preach or anything, but just the Lord had put a few things in my heart. And, you know, want to just express, every one of us could say the same thing. I'm not bringing anything special or new, but the power in this word that we possess. Amen. It's life. It's going to produce. Amen. It's going to produce sons and daughters in the image of Jesus Christ. I love it. And you know, that transforming power. I think of Paul, he said in Acts chapter 20, verse 32, he said, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified." What confidence he had in the word of God for that hour. What confidence we should have in the word of God for this hour. And I think there's maybe one thing that we all face that we must fight constantly in this hour is a relaxing and kind of a growing slack. You know, every one of us. You know, Brother Branham fought that. He talked about that. He said, "I see the church begin to get reclined, to get relaxed." And again, sometimes we just have to shake ourselves and stir ourselves. But his word is going to produce.
Amen.
It will not return to him void. And I just, again, I say these things to bless his name, to glorify him. I love it. It excites me. It thrills me. Another scripture that's just meant so much to me is this is from Luke chapter 1 and verse 45. Elizabeth speaking of Mary. And she says, "Blessed is she that believed. Blessed are you who have believed." Look what comes next. "There shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord."
Amen.
So are we looking for these things? Are we expecting these things? You know, it's not like the prophet's off the scene and we just sit back and wait for the rapture. No, this word's producing. It's going to bear fruit. It's going to manifest itself. It's going to bring life in each one of us. And I just love it. It's so magnificent. Let me just share one more quote, and then I'll let you go. But this is from the message where I think Pentecost failed. I just shared this the other day with some brothers, but it's just so sweet. It's beautiful. He says, oh, he's real. He says, "Adopted by the Father into the fellowship and into the body of believers by the Holy Ghost in a vindicated ministry." He says, look at this. He says, "You don't have to talk so much about it. God does his own talking. God testifies of his gift." There it is. See, that life, that seed, that word's going to produce. It's going to bring forth fruit. He says, "God testifies of his gifts." But he says, "All those gifts are wonderful. They're dandy. We love them all. God grant them every one of us. Would rather have every gift. I'd rather have the giver than all the gifts."
Amen.
He says, "You could have the gifts and not have the giver." He says, now, just a couple points here that's so beautiful. He says, "Now, if we went to seeking the giver instead of the gifts, I believe the church would have been farther up the road. Don't you think so?"
Yeah.
If we stayed close to God, see the simplicity. He says, if stayed close to God and love him and just kept living for him and not trying to push things over, just live for God.
Yep.
Live a pure, holy life and live. Pray every day. Keep yourself refreshed in his presence. Isn't that beautiful? He says, God will take care of the rest.
Amen.
Amen. That seed's going to produce. You just lay in the presence of the Son. Let it ripen, like he said. So I love it. He says, he will adopt the people into his own beloved body, the church. And when the rapture comes, you'll be found without a blemish because you're living in the presence of the King.
Amen.
Amen. Has he captivated your heart? Has he captivated your attention? Don't you love him? Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God bless you all.
God bless you too.
Thank you.
Amen. I think it's interesting the quote that you selected because the sermon tonight we're going to be listening to is where I think Pentecost failed. So I was going to be playing. We've been doing the question and answer, but the Holy Spirit, before you all arrived, put on my heart to put on that sermon tonight.
Good.
And our brother kind of gave us a little premiere. Is that what they call it? When you see it
preview,
before?
Preview,
yeah. Brother Don, my beloved brother, who would come up, and Brother Don and I have known each other since 74 and been very, very close through the years. He knew me before I was married, and years before I was married, so.
Here we are.
Bless you, brother.
Love you.
Yeah, I love you too. Amen.
It's always such a blessing to be with you. Yeah, just like Jesse said, it sort of feels like home. And love you all, and thank the Lord for this little outpost of his light and his love. I just pray that from here, God working in your heart, and your heart, and your heart, that he carries that light out into your world, and you go light your world where you're at, and be a light for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's pretty dark out there, we know.
Amen. Right.
And I think one of the main things that we're looking at, all of us, is the becoming of the Word manifest.
Yep.
You know, and that's takes place personally. It's that individual affair. It's that individual walk where the Holy Spirit goes to you. You hear it here. You hear it from here. You hear it when you put on your messages. You hear it when you're on your knees and at home with your Bible. But then the Lord and the Holy Spirit goes to work inside of you. And He starts showing you something, brings you closer to Him. He opens your eyes to something. Then something happens down on the inside. And when that something happens down on the inside, something starts to take place in your actions. And they change. Your sight changes. Your perception changes. How you see people, how you see things. Pretty soon you're walking down the street and all of a sudden you see somebody and they might be look like they're totally lost, and they probably are, but you just, a scripture comes to your mind, all souls are mine. Think of that.
Amen.
All souls are mine, and the soul that sinneth it shall die. It says, now you got life inside of you. And you got light inside of you. You're not to be keeping it under a basket, are you? Let it shine. Be a true. You know, one of the things they call Jesus in Revelation is a true and faithful witness.
Yes.
And that's what He asks us to be. Faithful unto death. Be a witness for Him. You know, if you just go out, there's a world starving to know that there's someone that cares. Think of that. The grandkids are working at a Chick-fil-A. And there's a man there that they are working with. And that man has never probably looked at a Bible. If you asked him to open to the book of Genesis, he wouldn't even know what you're talking about. But he's drawn to these kids. He doesn't even know what a family life is. He doesn't know what a mom is. He doesn't know what a dad is. But he keeps, I got to be around you. I got to be around you. Isn't that amazing? Those little things out there where the Lord can use you to draw somebody to Him.
Yes.
You know, remember Brother Vail saying this one time, where Brother Branham came to him and he says, do all you can for that kingdom of God.
Yep.
Because you don't know how many millions might be outside that city, but they'll have eternal life because of a seed that you've planted, because of the love that you've shown them, because you've led them to Jesus Christ. It's none of our business who they are or what role. That's God's.
Yep.
It's our business to sow seed, to spread His love, just like His love came to us when we were unlovable. I love to see the church thriving in the love of Jesus Christ, because I know they're getting closer to that capstone. And that's what we need to see. Because He said nothing will enter there without perfect love. But when you see the Jesus Christ in the people, and the people start to exhibit the Spirit of Christ in their lives. And what is that Spirit? You know, open your Bible, sir. This just has always amazed me. It's so, John 3:16, right? We know that. For God so loved the world, He gave. Right? He gave His only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Then it goes on. This is John, okay? This is the Son of Thunder. This is the one who wanted to condemn and judge. And Jesus said to him and his brother, you don't know what spirit you are of. Mm-hmm. Right? And then when that change came to James and John, it was so profound, it never left him. The change marked the rest of his life. It marked everything that he did. It marked his writings. You go to 1 John 3:16 now. Now, the love of God was shed abroad through the Holy Ghost. The love of God was shown and demonstrated in the Lord Jesus. Now it's supposed to be in the brethren, in you and in me. 1 John 3:16, and I think that's very significant again. Okay? Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. What's, read the rest out loud with me, would you? And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. There, you know what? Above all things, that's the fruit of the doctrine that's been sown in this age. To see the body of Christ with the Spirit of Christ so alive in them, so vibrant, that literally they would lay down their lives for the brethren. Think of that. They would give themselves. You think of that. Well, they don't think like I do. They don't believe like we do. You know, I go back where Brother Branham describes the Spirit of Christ. You know where it is. Where he talks about Moses, Abraham. Mm-hmm. What was Abraham's cry? Lord, if there's 10, Lord, if there's 5, right? And he didn't even know. But he was pleading for souls that he had never even met. Yes. Think of that. And then think of Moses. You know, you could say, well, they aggravated him. They sure did. They were unworthy. They sure were. They were a bunch of renegades acting like a bunch of renegades in the world. They sure did. Okay? But have you ever noticed when God talked to Moses in Exodus chapter, I think it's 28 or 32, he put Moses to the test. And he said, Moses, you let me alone. Think of that. He says, let me alone because of my wrath. What do you mean? Moses? Let God alone? No. No, wait. He put them in Moses' hand to see what he would do with them.
Amen.
What would you do with them? Well, they're renegades. They don't deserve it. Look at how they're living. Look at how, look at, they see the truth. They see the pillar of fire. They've seen the power of God. They've seen all of these things. Let them die! And he said, no, take me first.
Yep.
There it is. There's 1 John 3:16 in action.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm longing to see in me. In us. In the body of Christ. That I'm so filled with him. I'm so filled with all that he is. I'm so filled with all that he has. I'm so in love with him for what he has given me. That I lay down my life to give it out.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, let that life, that same life, live itself out from us. God bless you.
God bless you, Brother Don. I was enjoying being with you.
You know, Brother Branham said one of my favorite quotes. And I've actually quoted this in some churches, and had some brothers come up after me and say, oh, Brother Branham never said that. But Brother Branham said this, and I'll quote it. The attitude you take toward another person could determine their eternal destination.
Yeah.
Your attitude toward them can determine their eternal destination.
Isn't that frightening?
That's what you just said, brother. Yeah. You, Moses, others, Paul. Brother Branham, sure. Well, what time is it? See, we'll listen to about 35 minutes tonight of where I think Pentecost failed. And I don't want you to just be thinking back, this is Pentecost back there. This is the church. This is the message. This is the believers. This is the people that listen to the anti-prophet. As Brother Bell told me about maybe 3 months before he died, he said, I used to think Brother Brown was a Baptist. He said, you know, that had become Pentecostal. But he said, no. He said, the more and more I listen to Brother Ram's tapes, the more and more I realize he was Pentecostal through and through. The Brother Vail, who criticized Pentecost a lot, realized that Brother Ram was very, very Pentecostal. And I'm not talking about Pentecostal organization. I'm not talking about the theatrics and all that. But I'm talking about that experience and reality. And if we don't have that experience and reality, we don't have nothing. Well, if these words inspire our heads in prayer, we'll go right to the tape. Gracious Father, we want to thank you, Lord, not only for our brethren that spoke to us their hearts this evening, but Father, also we want to thank you that this voice has not been diminished in our lives, but actually it has preeminence in our lives. And so, Father, we just ask you to, through the voice of your prophet, is your words through his voice. As he said, I'm just a man, but he said, that's just a voice. He said, I'm not the one who appeared down the river. I was only standing there when he appeared. I'm just a voice that he used. And so, Father, we know it's you speaking to us, and we ask that you would touch our hearts tonight in a special way. And if, Father, we be any otherwise minded, I pray that during these words that you speak, it would quicken to us where we need to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Because I believe one of these Wednesday nights, I believe this for years, I believe when that resurrection begins, I believe God's prophet is going to walk right down the aisle. I'm just going to step aside and let him talk. I believe it so much, and it's coming. We're coming to the time when Jesus, Alpha, will be repeated Omega. He'll spend time with us. He'll go between the lines. His brother Vail said to me, he said, there has to be that ministry come, because he said the people don't have enough faith for hang up. Mm-hmm. And he said, but it's words that he said. It's words that he will tell us. That will bring to us. It'll open up to us. It'll, you know how Revelation works anyway. It comes through the Word. And that's what I'm looking forward to, that time of the resurrection ministry. And we're fast approaching it. The world can't get hardly any more wicked than it is.
Right.
And so we're waiting for him to appear again. Bring back his prophet. Amen. Let me just put this up on the screen for you. Can we hit the lights in there?
You know, in my travels, many years in the evangelistic work, 23 years in the service of the Lord, and I have found two classes of people, and that is the fundamentalist and the Pentecostal. And the fundamentalist, positionally, knows where they stand, but they haven't got too much faith with it. And the Pentecostal has got a lot of faith, but don't know who they are and where they stand. It's just like a man's got money in the bank, and he don't know how to write a check. The other man can write a check, only he ain't got no money in the bank. So if you could ever get them two together, it'd be a real habit. So if you could ever get real good fundamental faith amongst Pentecostal people, our fundamental doctrine with the Pentecostal people, and our vice versa, I'd like to see what the meeting would be. When the people realize that you are not, you will be, you are.
Amen.
Present tense, right now, sons and daughters of God. You're pushing it way over out to the millennium somewhere. All the blessings out in the millennium. Watch right now. We won't need divine healing in the millennium. Now is when we have it. We won't be sons of God, but now you're sons of God. Heirs, joint heirs with Jesus. And everything that Jesus died for at Calvary is your possession. Amen. Brother, Satan don't like that. Because if the people would only realize and just be willing to take God at his word, you just are, what's unlimited. I'm speaking with a doctor here not long ago who was talking to me. He said, oh, you're a minister. And I said, yes, sir. And he said, you know, I studied that stuff for about 4 years. I said, you did run well. What hindered you? And he said, oh, I got to find out there wasn't nothing to it. He said, I studied it for 4 years to be a minister. And he said, then I come to find out, well, I got all tangled up and things that I said, now here's what it is. I said, now you got an x-ray machine there, you can look through the human body and so forth. That's wonderful. That's the tree of knowledge. That was in the Garden of Eden. And man's been eating from that tree since Eden. But I said, it's got a limitation. But I said, the tree of faith of God is unlimited.
Amen.
I said, you believe science as far as science can go, and then when you can't scientifically search it out anymore, then step off and start believing for grandma. I said, that's the way you have to do it. And God will never, you can never exalt God's love and mercy to you.
Amen.
You say, well, I hate to bother you so much, Father. He wants to be bothered that way.
Yes.
He does. Mm-hmm. Don't never think that you could ever ask too much of God. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the scripture says you have not because you ask not, and you ask not because you believe not. But he wants us to ask and believe that our joy is to be full. He wants you to ask abundantly. Ask for big things. Don't limit your faith to some little mustard seed. Get on out here into some other kind of faith. Move out to big things. That big things is just as easy if you receive as little things.
Amen.
You just have to believe, that's all. And you got faith. Just know exactly how to use it, and it'll be all right. You can put it back to work, it'll just be fine.
Amen.
Could you imagine, talk about exhausting God's love and power and beneficiary for you. Could you imagine a little bitty beast about that long, way out here in the middle of the ocean, saying, now, wait a minute. I better consider this thing. I better drink of this water sparingly because I might run out someday. A little beast about that big in the middle of this ocean out here. Well, that could easily be done, more easier than you could ask too much of God.
Mm-hmm.
He's the inexhaustible fountain of life. Whatever you have need of, ask him and believe it. He provided him the redemptive blessings when he died at Calvary and gave a promise to you for everything you have need of while you're in the journey, and it's yours if you'll ask and believe it.
Amen.
Right? Could you imagine a little mouse about so long under the great garners of Egypt saying, now wait a minute, I better not eat but just about 2 grains a day because I might run out before the winter's over. That's the way people act as Christians.
Yep.
Get up in the morning and say, God bless my family today and keep it close to you. Amen. Well, I've done my religion for the day. Oh, I'd just like to lay down really and drink in, don't you? And have just a real spiritual gastronomical jubilee. Just drink till you just can't drink some more. You all are great fruit raisers out here in California. You know, you raise oranges. You know that little orange tree that's about a half inch high? That every bushel of oranges that you'll ever pick off of it is on the tree right there or in the tree? Did you know that? If it didn't, where did it come from? Well, who put the oranges on it? It's in the tree. And all you do with the little tree, you just plant. And then you have to give it water. And it just drinks, and it has to drink more than its allotted potion. And the more it drinks, it begins to push out. And it pushes out leaves, pushes out branches, pushes out blossoms, then pushes out oranges. Then keeps drinking, pushing out more oranges, leaves, and blossoms. Just drink, 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 drink. And when a believer is placed in Christ Jesus, you're planted in there, and the inexhaustible fountain of life, and the more you drink, the more you push out. Right? If you can't believe, well, I believe that Jesus saves me, that's good. Then how about the Holy Ghost? Believe if you're the Holy Ghost, He promised it to you. Got divine healing, believe it, He promised it to you. Every redemptive blessing belongs to you. Just drink and drink and push out.
Amen.
That's all. Everything you have need of is right in you.
Amen.
When you receive the Holy Ghost, everything you got need of between you and glory is right in you then.
Amen.
It ain't faith that you need. You've got faith if you've got the Holy Spirit, for He is your faith. But the thing you have to know how to use that faith. You know what I mean? And if you just understand how to use it, which we'll try to do some week to explain it, you'll see the exceedingly abundantly above all that you can do to think of the Lord. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, you are so good to Father. We just bow our heads to give thee praise for thy goodness. Sometimes our hearts just get away from us. It just feels so happy when we're speaking with you and know that we can have a talk with you anytime we desire. Just like the telephone. Take down the receiver, call Central, plug it in anywhere across the nation. What a wonderful thing the telephone is.
Amen.
And as the poet wrote, we have a royal telephone.
Yes.
Take down the receiver. Get down on the knees and call Central Christ Jesus. Instead of what you ask the Father in my name, I'll do it. Then we can plug in for anything. All the redemptive blessings are ours. And we're so happy for that. And now, Father, we pray that you'll gird our hearts up just now with the Holy Spirit and mellow up our spirits that we can be able to receive and get into the Word and bring the Word to the people. May the Holy Ghost take every word of God and place it into the heart, which is a seed, and may it grow into great trees of salvation, bringing in precious seeds for the Master. For we ask it in the name of His beloved Son, the Lord Jesus, our Savior. Amen.
Amen, sir.
Now, thank you kindly for your bearing with me for these few nights of teaching along on the Word. And tomorrow night now, I close the service, the Lord willing, tomorrow night. And if you can drop over, wouldn't it? Come over tomorrow night. Well, then the next day I have to start, I'll start fasting and make it ready for the healing service coming. And you've been a very fine audience. You haven't been many in number, but the Holy Spirit has been with us and blessed us. And I'm just so happy to be with you. And I'm grateful that you let me have this little time of rejoicing with you and fellowshipping around the Word. And now, tonight I want to speak on a subject that I promised you last night, of where I think Pentecost failed. If I'm wrong, God forgive me, and I pray that you will too. But I'm only trying to point out these facts that we might know if we know where we made a mistake, then the best thing to do is go right back there and start anew again. Come right over. We know that something's happened. We take man that crosses the country today, great man that God has sent us. Billy Graham, Jack Shuler, Oral Roberts, Tommy Hicks, and Mr. Allen, and many of these men out of the land today have these great nationwide revival, and yet it seems like it doesn't do any good. It just doesn't soak in right. A certain evangelist, I won't call his name because he's unnoticed and a wonderful brother. Probably he and I get out here in a car and go talk to theology. We'd argue like two little pet coons, but we would. But I love the man. He's a wonderful brother. And he's a God's servant. But we had a certain revival here not long ago, and many people, around many thousand people, 10, 15,000 people, maybe more, came in and gave their hearts to Christ. And on a research of that, track back, they found out within a few weeks' time they couldn't find but just a little, mere little handful that were still going on. Now, what I think it is, friends, Christian friends, is first, there's two things that we have to watch closely. One of them is the intellectual religion, intellectual faith, and the other one is the born-again experience. One of them is in the head and the other is in the heart. Now, of course, science has fought against that up to last year. But in the Chicago paper, when I got out of this screen, you know, the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, So is it. As a man thinketh in his heart. Mm-hmm. What our science said, God got all mixed up. Said because there's no mental faculties in the heart to think with. It's just a pump that pumps to the blood, purifying the blood coming through the cylinders it was. But said the mental faculties is in the head. But you know, we have to take that back now and say God was right. About a year ago, they found out that in the human heart, that there's a little compartment, teeny, that even a blood cell don't exist in. It's not in the animal heart, it's only in the human heart, and they found out that that's the occupied place of a soul. Did you ever have something that you just know was going to happen, yet you couldn't reason it out, but something you told you would happen anyhow? You believe that in your heart. That's something down here. Now when Jesus becomes not because you can be orthodox, because you can explain your religion, that isn't really what it is about a man must be born again. When a man, it isn't so much intellectual, but something has happened down here that changed that man. It changed his motives. It changed his ideas. It changed his life. As I was speaking last night, he's coming to the inner court. The veils have dropped around him. He lives daily for God. Meet him anywhere, anytime. He's still got that testimony on his heart. In any trial, he still holds good. It works, friend. I know it by experience. Not long ago, you remember when I said, let me stay in a prayer line too long, and broke me for about 8 months. They just done everything for me here. And I, the disease is here, and just to let me stay too long. We'll explain that later on when we talk on healing. But the point was, some man met me and said, hey, Preacher Branham. I said, yes, sir. That did you keep your religion during the time of your sickness? I said, no. It's just me.
Amen.
It isn't the idea whether I hold on, it's whether he held on or not.
Amen.
The work has been finished. Now we're going to speak tonight on a subject here found in over in the book of Ephesians, which is a very treacherous thing, and it's not at all sent to the unbeliever. It's dedicated, this is, completely to the believer. And now I will read from the third verse, just a portion of the first chapter of the first chapter of Ephesians. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us acceptable in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood and forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Now, a beautiful read. And now, I may not, only without the grace of the Holy Spirit, to make you understand what I see here and applying it to the Pentecostal church. But if you'll notice in the first verse of here, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints, not to the outside world, this book is sent to the saints. And the saints, the word saint comes from a sanctified or sainted person. To the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful, in Christ Jesus. He was sent here not to the outsiders, but to the saints that are in Ephesus. Now, if you notice in the book of Corinthians, all the time Paul had with these Corinthians, they were all seeking after different blessings and spiritual gifts. And Paul had to speak to them as to children. But when he comes to the Ephesian church, he speaks to them in a different way. The church of Ephesus, they are a solid gospel church. Now, he's speaking here of what God did for us before the foundation of the world. Now, I realize that I'm talking to both Calvinists and Arminians. And I'm a Calvinist as long as Calvin stays in the Bible. Then after that, I'm an Arminian. I believe in the grace of God to keep the believer. But I believe that a believer has to have enough grace of God to stay with God. I believe that security of the church. I believe the church has security. And if you're in the church, you're secured with the church as long as you are in the church. Stay in. Don't be wandering around, tossed about by everything. Stay in Christ Jesus. And God has foreordained that the church should appear before Him holy, blameless, without spot or wrinkle. No matter whether you make it or I make it, God's going to have a church without spot or blemish. I trust that we'll all be there. But we each have to seek our own salvation in the fear and trembling. But if we'd only go back to find out when God made His first man, He made man in His own image. And God is the Spirit. So He had to make spirit man. Now the word is used here in the fifth verse of predestination. Predestinated. It's not a very good word for an evangelist or a minister to use, because it kind of confuses people when you say predestinate. Predestination looks back to foreknowledge. Foreknowledge looks to destination. Predestination goes back to foreknowledge. Foreknowledge goes to destination. In other words, God didn't say, I'll make this man be this, and I'll make this man be that. But in order to be God, He had to know the end from the beginning. So in order to foreknowledge that He knew, He could say this would happen and that would happen because He was God and knew where everything would be placed, and therefore He could ordain certain things for certain ages. You believe that? That's truly Scripture. And now, while I'm not on this subject, let's take this down real close. Gifts and callings are without repentance. They are the foreknowledge of God. You could not make one cubic higher or lower. You could not taking salt could not add one inch to your cubic, or to your statue rather. But there is God foreknowing and has made you just what He wants you to be. He's made you. He has set you. He gave you a place. If everybody, I say what I like. I like people to be original. I don't like people to impersonate someone else. Do you? There's so much of that today in the world. Actors. You know, the word Pharisee means actor. And we got so many actors today that people are trying to act like somebody else. Trying to impersonate somebody else. People love you a lot better if you just be yourself. They know how to take you. God hastened the day that when men and women will be just what they are. Amen. If I was against Christ, I'd be here tonight speaking against Him. I would have no time for him. And I'd be election against him. But being that I love him and I believe in him, that's why I'm here trying to get everybody to believe him, because I believe him. And therefore, when people claim to be Christians or impersonate Christianity or try to act like they're Christians, when down in their hearts they don't have the peace of God, you're an account actor. And you know, people really know that. Your neighbor knows that you're just acting that way. Certainly. Do you see you get mad and growling and beat the dog around the house and hard your husband, catting under the bed when he comes in, and you do the same little while? They know that's not Christianity acting.
Yeah.
Certainly. When you really get saved, he changes you.
Yes.
You don't have to act, you just act natural. You're just yourself. But God foresaw and placed and set certain things to happen. Therefore, he could take the prophets with the gift of knowledge and foreshow them what was going to be, and they could speak it, because it's a word of knowledge that God gives to his prophet, and he foretells it before it comes to pass, because God knows all things. So therefore, knowing someone, now that might bring up the question in your mind about Satan in the beginning. Or someone asked me how long ago, said, isn't Satan a creator? I said, no, sir. God is the only creator there is. One creator is God. I said, well, how did evil ever get here then, if Satan didn't create it? I said, evil is not a creation. Evil, Satan cannot create, but he can pervert what God has created.
Amen.
See, he's not a creator. God is the creator, but Satan perverts what God has created. And God created good, and Satan perverted it to evil.
Yep.
And just like any other thing, it's perverted. It's wrong. And if your mind and heart and all doesn't agree with God's word and believe that he is the same Lord Jesus, resurrected from the dead, and peace in your heart, and yet you belong to church, be careful. You might have a perverted mind instead of being a changed heart.
Yes, amen.
That's sick. And it's hard. But it's good. I'd rather have it straightened out here than to wait till I come down to the river. I asked him when I went into ministry. I said, God, if I ever get off the path, you straighten me out. I don't want no trouble when I come down the river that morning.
Amen.
It's going to be a horrible day. And when that waves are dashing against my soul, and I know all hope is gone, the real threat of life is breaking, I don't want no trouble.
Amen.
I hope to be an old man at that time. Brands usually, when they get old, they get a pause, they shake. Now I get like the land to see the day when I was so old I couldn't preach the gospel no more. I don't want to stay any longer. I like to come up to the end of the road and look back down to every broad patch, every hill, where I've come to see the footprint. Know that I'm standing at the end of the river. Won't be long, but I'll be going over. All them sands, I like to kneel down, take off the helmet of salvation, unbuckle the breastplate, take the old sword and stick it back in the keys of eternity, raise up my hands and say, Father, send out my life, folks. I'm coming home this morning. That's right. I believe he'll be there. If I'm faithful to my Savior, to his guiding hand, I'll cling. He will guide us over death's river. Heaven's too sweet song to sing. I believe he'll keep his believers. That's right, David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now, God foreseeing, he ordained a church that was to appear before him. Now, as I've been running the last two nights, the threes of God's dispensation. I believe in the first Reformation, Luther came out preaching justification by faith. Being the first Reformation from the Dark Ages of 1500 years, of Dark Ages. Many of you Christians and you people who read history and so forth know what that is. Then Luther, being God's man of the hour, come out to bring the message. It was a type of in the wilderness. Israel had a pillar of fire. A pillar of fire. And they followed it day and night. And when that pillar of fire stopped, Israel camped under that fire, that light. And they stayed there until the pillar of fire moved on and Israel moved with the fire. As he did it in the natural for Israel, he did it in the spiritual for the church. Martin Luther, first one to see the pillar of fire moved out and moved on. Say, with this message, the just shall live by faith. And he preached the message. And man followed him. But the mistake that Luther made was he organized the church. And he made everything to become Lutheran. And that is where he made a mistake. I have deep respect for every organization. And I think they're all good, every one of them. I will not talk against them because I have many fine brethren in every one of them. And never on the platform, under the visions, have I ever seen the Holy Spirit challenge anybody and tell them they're in the wrong church. I've never had it done. He'll tell them just exactly what kind of what church they belong to and different things like that, but never did he ever challenge anybody's faith and say you belong to the wrong church. Notice, now under the first Reformation was Luther. And then he organized and made the Lutheran church. The pillar of fire began to move out, but the Lutherans couldn't move because they already had their documents drawn up. We believe this and that's it. And when God showed a new revelation, the Lutherans couldn't move. So there was a fellow by the name of John Wesley who saw the vision, the pillar of fire moving. And so he saw the message of sanctification and called it the second work of grace. And Methodist Luther could not go into that because they were not taught that. Then Wesley take it up and taught sanctification and caused a great revival to sweep the land. The Western Age. Saved England out of corruption. When the Calvinist church in England had got so corrupt so they didn't even believe in revivals no more. What God's going to do is going to do. What difference does it make? If he's going to save them, they're born to be saved, they're born to be lost. Oh, what a condition to get into. God sent a mediocre. And he sent John Wesley, who preached sanctification. And then the trouble that Wesley made, he organized a church called the Methodist. And then they wrote up their documents, we believe in this, and that's it. And then one day the pillar of fire began to move again. And Wesley could not move with that, because he was already organized to it. And there was a group of people called themselves Pentecost. They saw the pillar of fire and received the Holy Ghost and received the gift of the Spirit, speaking in tongues and so forth, and away they went, moved out on out. He caused a revival. They even, the odd visitor, the Sunday visitor, the Catholic Church admitted a couple years ago that the Pentecostal Church had even outdone them that year. Over 1,500,000 converts in the Pentecostal ring, one of the fastest growing churches in the world. Was the Pentecostal people. But what did the devil do? He come along and made them organize. And he began to organize. And draw fences and lines. And you know what? The pillar of fire is moving out again. And the Pentecostal people so organized they can't move with it. Yeah. But God's fire is moving right on just the same. And he'll do it in every age. Mm-hmm. And never a church through history say we believe this not in with the period, but with the come.
Amen.
We believe this trust as much as God will pour into our hearts. We believe this. Now, God, in the beginning back there, when the just beautiful little type, I wish we only had time to go through it, but within 15, 20 minutes I had left, we took through it, of course. But I'd just like to take one that's on my mind now, of those trees. Look at when Elijah found Elisha and told him to walk with him. And then he said, you tarry here, for I must go up to another city. And Elisha, the prophet that was to take his place, said, as the Lord liveth, and thy soul liveth, I'll not leave thee. Now that was Elijah. Well, Elijah was a type of Christ being translated, and Elijah was a type of the church that was to take his place and finish his ministry with a double potion.
Amen.
See? Now, then he said, I'll go up to the school of prophets, the second journey. He said, you stay here. But Elijah said, as your soul liveth, I'll not leave you. And he went along. And when he got to the school of the prophet, he said, I crossed Jordan. He said, you stay here. He said, as I soul liveth, I'll not stay here. I'll go with you. I like that. A determination to hold on, regardless of the price, move on. Keep going on with God. Deeper waters, deeper experiences. More love.
Amen.
It's unlimited to us. It's unlimited. And now, at the Jordan, representing death, he comes to these other two places, not death connected with it. School, visitation, like justification, sanctification, the first hour towards the inner, the first veil, or the first office. Then when he comes to Jordan, representing death again, has to die out. And then when he crossed Jordan, got on the other side, he turned to him, and he said, now what will you that I do for you? He wasn't backward. He said, that a double potion of your spirit come upon me.
Amen.
Ask all.
Amen.
He said, thou hast asked a great thing, but nevertheless, if you see me when I go away, you shall have it. Could you imagine Elijah then keeping his eyes off of Elijah? That's what's the trouble today for the church.
Amen.
We got too many people that's got the promise you shall receive the Holy Ghost, but they keep one eye on the world and the other on God.
Yeah.
You're sure to fall. Take your eyes off of one or the other. I advise you take your eyes off the world, off your neighbor, off of your association, and keep your eyes single with Christ.
Yes.
Elijah kept his eyes on Elijah. And when after a while a chariot of fire and horses of fire came down, and Elijah stepped up on it and went up. And as he went up, he pulled off his mantle that he struck the Jordan to make a pass through death, and threw it back to Elijah. He picked it up and put it on. A very beautiful type of Christ. When he was going away, one woman said to him, said, Lord, that my son sat on your right and left hand, my two sons. He said, can you drink the cup that I drink? She said, yea. He said, can you be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? She said, yes. He said, that truly you can. The same Holy Spirit was up on Christ was his mantle that God gave him, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And they went up at Pentecost and awaited in the upper room that when Jesus, which was the antitype of Elijah, was taken up from death and resurrection, he sent back the mantle. The same Holy Spirit that was up on him fell on the church. And he said, the things that I do shall you do, and greater in this, a double potion of the same Holy Ghost that was up on Christ, is up on the church.
Amen.
And Elijah took that mantle and walked down to the river and struck the river and said, where is the God of Elijah?
Yes. Hallelujah.
Oh, my! And the people today who claim to be filled with the Holy Ghost things.
Yep.
Oh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Cross Jordan.
Get on the other side.
Amen.
The potion, double potion of the Holy Spirit that was upon Christ Jesus was sent back to the church to minister and to carry on the work until He comes.
Amen.
A little while in the world seeth thee no more, yet ye shall see me, for I, personal pronoun, will be with you, even in you, to the end of the world. He's raised from the dead, and with His church tonight in spiritual form, giving to you every bit of the powers that He had upon Him here on earth, is handed over to the church to use, and your way to use. I wonder if you felt that last step. Have you really crossed Jordan? When you cross Jordan at death, you go into that veil I was talking about last time. Inside the Holy of Holies, where your light is no more of the world. You walk in fellowship, time to time, with Christ in you, the hope of glory, the Holy Ghost moving and living in the moral being. And if I have told you tonight that the spirit of some great artist was in you, you'd expect me to paint a picture like the artist. If I told you the spirit of John Dillinger was in me, you'd look for me to have big guns and be a death fighter. If I told you the spirit of Christ was in me, I have to do the works of Christ.
Yes,
and if you profess to be a Christian, depart from sin and devils and endeavors and live like Christ did, a peaceful, humble, God bless life. Amen. Ryan. Oh, my. I feel religious right now.
Amen.
I really do. Oh, I just love it. The word. It's real good. It saves your soul. Notice. The fifth verse. Hasn't predestined unto the adoption of sons. By Christ Jesus. There's a great story here of the adoption, our placing. Now, my Pentecostal brethren, you may disagree with this, but I want you to listen real close. Now, these next 10, 15 minutes, I want to ask you something. In your Bible scholar, in the Old Testament, there was a law of adopting or placing a son. You know that, now the book of Galatians and so forth, that was to raise a child. What happened? A father had born into his house a child, a boy, and he was a son when he was born. But he was given a tutor, and this tutor raised the child and brought word to the father all the time how the child was progressing. And as the child becomes a certain age, if he has been a worthy child, if he has absolutely been all right, if he had not, then there were certain things that had to take place. And if he was unworthy, yet he was a son, he wasn't given any inheritance of his father. But if he was a worthy child and had been found worthy, he was taken out into a public place. And this father, get it? Here it is, don't miss it. This father of the child, he was already born in the family, Pentecostal Assembly, other society, already born into the family as a son. Now, when the Pentecostal people in the free Methodists and Baptists and so forth, when they received the Holy Spirit, they said, "We got it. That settles it." But it didn't. Mm-hmm. The Methodist said, "Brother, when we shout, we had it." That's what the Methodists used to say. Every Methodist would shout, "Brother, you got it." But they found out they didn't have it.
Yeah.
The Pentecost said, when they spoke with tongues, "We got it." But you found out you didn't. Right. Life proves it.
Mm-hmm.
See, people speak with tongues like poor bees on dry ground and go out and cheat and steal and lie and everything else.
Yeah.
You can't call that the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
But now, wait, I'm even shouting and speaking in tongues, but I'm trying to play something, do you? You may be mad at me now. but you won't be up there.
Amen.
Notice, it's true. Now, watch what happened. Now, when this father, after this child had been born in the family, yet he did not inherit anything until his life proved out to be the right kind of a child.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the tutor, which is the Holy Spirit in our case, brought word to the father all about how this child was progressing. Now, we try to jump the fence. We try to stick the cart before the horse. You try to claim things and do things before God did it. They got a lot of place where it's been doing. And that's what's the matter with the church. If real Pentecostal faith settled over an audience of this size, brothers, all California would have something happened up here tonight.
Amen.
Right. There's something wrong. It isn't wrong with God. It isn't wrong with your faith. It's being placed by it, knowing what you're doing and how to do it.
Yeah.
That's the secret of the whole thing, and then yielding yourself to the will of God. Notice, this son was the son when he was born. When the Pentecostals received the Holy Ghost, was born, and I don't mean to certain that the Pentecostals, there was the four square, and whatever more, and all the people that believed in receiving the Holy Ghost. And we Baptists down in Kentucky, the only difference I've seen between my church and Pentecost when I come over here was the initial evidence, speaking in tongues. That's the only thing I've seen different. I was preaching here not long ago at a Baptist church, and I said, "Is nobody said amen? Nothing." Well, brother, I've seen an old mammy take the old string bonnets and walk up and down the floor screaming and shouting, walk the benches and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Listen, I said, "Is this a Baptist church?" The pastor flagged about that, sir. I said, "It sure don't seem like it." I cut loose again as hard as I could. Nobody said amen, said as stiff and arch as they could be. I said, "Listen, you're not Baptist. You're just church joiners. Down to where I come from, when you're a Baptist, we get out the door and beat one another back when we come through." I said to you, brother, what we need today is some more of that old fashioned back beating at the altar.
Yes.
So we come through. Hallelujah! I'm telling you, bow for self and sin and are born of the Holy Spirit.
Yep.
Lose your pocketbook, you'll bring back getting him. You get the shovel, he won't turn you down. You'll be a brother, put his arm around you, help pick you up again. Pray for you. Amen.
Notice, when the child was born, he was a son, but his conduct had to do with his inheritance. Now, I want you to be real honest now. Don't you think that we tried to push the inheritance just a little bit farther than God, our conduct went? That's what's the matter today. We should be way on up the road down here, but we're way back down here. Why? It's been our conduct.
Yep.
We have no respect, even out of good meaning. And what? And when, if I understand the Bible right, I may get some real good hot letters after this, but I guess it'll be all right. I'll just keep praying anyhow. But I've noticed people who have the gift of speaking in tongues speak out of order. When a preacher was preaching, somebody said, "Speak in tongues." That's out of order. Spirit of the prophet, subject to the prophet.
Yes.
The Word of God is first, never secondary. God, this is God's Word. And I've seen people raise up and speak with tongues, and everybody go on, carry on, pay no attention to it. That's out of order. You should be reverent. If it's a real Spirit of God, then let it say something. Whatever God's saying, then listen to it. Put it down. Now, God won't just mince words, speak, repeat over something else. He told us not to use vain repetition. You won't say, quote, scripture. He'll give you some, definitely something, telling you something's going to happen just at a time for a certain thing. Then follow that out. And if it isn't so, then that person ought to go over and get right with God. They got an evil spirit on them.
Mm-hmm.
Then you'll clean out some of this nonsense. That's right. We should come into church with a heart full of reverence.
Yep.
Not the church is not a social gathering of some sort of arena or somewhere to talk about what you've gone through the day. It's a place of worship. And we've made it through the wilderness. And he led them for the space of 40 years. And when he come out on the other side, there wasn't a feeble one among them.
Amen.
Wouldn't you doctors here tonight, or some of you like to know what Dr. Moses had in prescription? What did he give those people? How many babies is born each night? How many old people and so forth? How many lame and crippled? And how many colics and everything else did he give to the night? And Dr. Moses took care of every bit of it. Would you like to look at his medicine bag and find out what kind of prescription he gave? Would you like to know what it is? Let's see what it was. Here it is. I'm the Lord, and he was all my disease.
Amen.
That's the only remedy he had.
Amen.
And it worked for 2 million people. As long as they were obedient. As long as they wasn't grumbling and cussing. As long as they were obedient and walked humbly before God, God went before them and led them out of hand and packed them on eagle's wings. But the minute they got out of order, God separated himself from them.
Yep.
That's right. Well, the journey's only about 40 miles. They committed a couple, 3 days. And they were 40 years wandering around out there trying to get ready to go over.
Mm-hmm.
That's just like the church tonight. We get all mixed up. Now, back to the sonship. What happened? Now, when this child was born, he received new birth. Now, that's the same thing I was applying to last night. Many people who eat the manna, because they're outside, the manna fell every night, that's right. But it had to fall every night. And then sometimes they maybe got a little hungry between meals. Because the manna didn't last very long, it was out here. But when the man went on the inside of the veil and lived in there at the holiest of holies, you say, Brother Branham, do we live there? Aaron only went in, or Moses once a year. Or Aaron, brother, the high priest, he had to be anointed. But Christ rent the veil. That every believer comes into the presence of the holiest of holies.
Yes.
Not living manna that you have to eat every day, but a manna that gives out before day's gone. A little prayer of morning, but constantly living in the presence of the Lord Jesus. Walking and talking with Him. I remember a little Irish woman come across the sea here some time ago, and she was on the road over here. The jazz bands on the ship was all playing, you know, and going on. And after a while, there come a great storm in the south, SOS calls and so forth. And the captain run down, he said, stop your plane a minute. Said, we just received word from New York. If we can't hold out 30 minutes, we're going to the bottom of the sea. Said, change your music. Said, all of you pray. And everybody fell on the knees. The flames begin to play, dear my God, to thee. And all of them begin to pray. And the ship rocking back and forth and pitching to the waves. The little Irish mother with a long dress on, long sleeves and long hair. Walked up and down the aisle. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Well, they said, why don't you pray, woman? She said, I'm already prayed up. I'm ready. Right. Walk with Him.
Amen.
Be ready. So after a while, they kept on. The captain comes back. He said, lady, what's the matter with you? He said, oh, I'm so happy. He said, did you understand what I said? If this ship don't hold out, if it holds out, won't hold out 30 minutes, we're going to the bottom of the sea. She said, I understood. Hallelujah. He said, what do you mean by that, woman? He said, I'm praising God. Said, and you going to the night being at the bottom of the sea in 15 minutes from now? I said, sure. Said, I'm on my road from Ireland over to America to see my daughter. I haven't seen her for 30 years. And I'm on my road to see my daughter in America. And she said, if the boat holds out 30 minutes, I'll see her in America. And said, if it don't hold out, I got one in glory. I'll see one of them in the next 30 minutes. Hallelujah! That's it.
Pray up.
Walking with Him. You don't know what time a streak of break and you're going out into eternity. Live close to Him. Stay in the veil.
Amen. Amen.
I think we'll close it at that. We have the lights. Mrs. Bauer, it's in prayer. Gracious Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for the words that you gave us through your prophet. And there's so much rich words that he spoke, Lord, to us. I just pray, Father, we take heart to what he said, to live it. As he said that the people just don't live it. They talk it. They go to church. They they worship, but they go home, they just live the same old life. But Father, we know that when your Holy Spirit comes in, and we know you wouldn't put your Holy Spirit until we die first. And so help us, Lord, to die to self daily. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. I am present tense. Every 24/7, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I'm living, but it's not me that's living. It's Christ that's living in me.
Yeah.
And the life I'm living now in this flesh, this body, I'm living by the same revelation that he lived by, that I'm your son. Lord, he's a son, I'm a son. We have the same revelation. He said that he would not be ashamed to call us brothers. He said that if a man confessed me before my Father, I would confess him before, or if a man confessed me before men, I would confess him before my Father. And we know that word confess means to say the same thing. And that is, he's my brother. And so, Lord, I just pray that the same life that was in our eldest brother, which was in you first, would be in us, and that we would take it with us and live it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now the Lord bless thee and keep thee, and may the Lord make his face to shine upon thee.
The Lord.